The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started today for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
Hey, this is DeRay, and welcome to Positive the People. On this episode, it's me, Kaya Miles, talking about all the news that you didn't hear from last week. That is what we normally do, but this episode is going to be a Trump episode. We never, ever do this, and I have tried hard from the beginning of that man's time in politics to not devote a lot of time. But let me tell you, it feels like what happened over the past couple of days is just so much we need to talk about it. So I'm DeRay, at DRAY on Twitter.
I'm Kaya Henderson, at Henderson Kaya on Twitter.
I'm Malzi Johnson, at Feral Rapture on Instagram.
So all of you listening definitely know that there was a shooter outside of the latest Trump rally who shot at the president. There were two people who were killed at the rally and other people who were injured. You probably also know that the Biden team suspended all campaigning. They took ads off the air. They have gone quiet around the race for president. You probably know that Kamala released a statement. Barack Obama released a statement. The president released a statement. I am interested in what Miles and Kai, you have to say about the attempted shooting of former President Trump. I'll leave it there.
This is going to be one of those, like, where were you when it happened kind of situations.
Yeah, let's do reactions. I was like, there's so much to unfold.
So, Miles, where were you?
So, this is such a weird story, which is, like, my life. So, I've been on a Tarantino binge. So, if I'm being honest with you, I've been walking, working out, eating, and, like, just chilling this summer. And I've been on this huge Tarantino binge. And I remember, because I watch Candace Owens and Trump, and I watch all that stuff as much as I watch leftist stuff. So I remember seeing the Trump rally on YouTube Live, and I click it, and I literally see the blood, and I just finished watching Reservoir Dogs, and
yikes.
The man in Reservoir Dogs gets his ear cut, and he's bloody, and then Trump's bloody, and then there was just something about that, like, Tarantino binge and me seeing this. I'm like, when did America become a Tarantino film? So that's, like, my story around it, because it was such an odd pop culture relaxation entertainment thing meets your actual world politics of actually seeing something happening in a rally that mirrors a Tarantino film.
Fascinating. I was on a plane when it happened and did not have my Wi-Fi on, so I wasn't, like, getting in the moment things. But as I was landing, I got a text saying they tried to take Trump out. And I was like, what could that mean? Like, I assassination attempt was so far from the realm of possibility for me.
Right.
And I was like, what do you mean? And the person replied and they were like, Trump was shot at. And, like, as soon as I landed, I just went down a rabbit hole of, you know, media online and whatnot to see what had happened. And thank you, DeRay, for putting stuff in our group chat so that we could stay on top of it. Where were you when it went down?
I was at a birthday party in Brooklyn, and one of my really close friends is, she does social media for a brand. So she says to me, they just tried to shoot Trump. I said, no, that didn't. She said, no, she showed me. And I was like, I can't believe it. This feels really wild. And then I saw the picture, I saw the blood. And the first thing that I remember being like, okay, something ain't right, was that BBC interview with that Trump guy who was like, we saw somebody crawl up the building. We told the police, we told Secret Service, they didn't do nothing. We were shocked. We saw a rifle, like that whole thing. And I was like, something right. What I did not anticipate, though, was I got on Twitter because I was like, you know, people are like, well, we obviously lost in November. Da-da. I get on Twitter and the consensus is in a something right. And I was like, oh, that was fascinating. I did not expect people. You know, what I think is really interesting is that for the first time, Trump is actually a victim of the fake news cycle that he created. The idea that like something is not true, that like we question everything. Normally we are on the defense, but for the first time, people are like, yep, wasn't a bullet. Nope, your team planned it. Da-da-da. Like he's actually a victim of the fake news stuff. And I actually really appreciate that.
I did see, now they're, I don't know if you saw this, but they're circulating a picture by, I can't remember what journalist, but it purports to show the bullet whizzing, but like he caught this picture right at the moment and there's a little silver streak near the ear. And so it is, I'm going to try to find it, but it is purporting to show that this is really,
I saw that.
That this really happened. And I mean, it could be, anybody could Photoshop a silver line in a thing.
What I know to be true is that if he got shot, somebody would have released a statement or something that wasn't Donald Trump. Because the only person said that he got shot is Donald Trump. That's it.
Also, when you get shot, you're not usually pumping your fist afterwards. And why did the Secret Service not whisk him off of the thing? Like the like hunker down thing was sort of interesting to me, too. Usually they move people out as quickly as possible.
Well, I think they don't know how many. So when a shooting happens like that, you don't know all the time where it's coming from, and also how many people are there. So I think that the Secret Service job is just to cover the president. So if people are attacking him from any angle, close, side,
security expert. I like it.
I'm just saying, that's what I would tell my goons. I'm like, no, cover me up because you don't know where the op's at. Cover me up.
But Takai, to your point, one of the things that they're saying is that Trump did the fist pump because the Secret Service was told all clear. It was after the kill shot happened and they were no longer worried about there being a threat. So that's sort of their narrative about why he was not permanently covered or why he wasn't taken off the stage. And there's that audio of him saying, like, give me my shoes, like, find me my shoes, something like that. But it's supposedly after the threat was gone.
Okay, so this thing happened, and what did you think? Besides, it might not be real. Like, were you worried about democracy? What were your initial thoughts?
If I'm being really extremely, extremely radically honest, I had a sense of relief that somebody who incited so much violence was also the person who was getting their comeuppance. So often I thought about the woman who died during that protest. She got ran over by the car.
In Charlottesville?
Heather?
Yeah. Heather Heyer. I think all the time when it comes to like this rhetoric happening and this violent rhetoric just coming out and just being flooded into our airstreams, oftentimes it's the people who are not necessarily mobilizing those people who have to pay for that in violence. So it felt sad. It felt chaotic. It felt dark. It felt all those things. But it also felt like a type of twisted poetic justice where it's like, this is what happens when you speak like this. This is what happens when you normalize violent rhetoric. And then honestly, it brought relief to me, that the idea that, oh, this happened to you. But then, of course, this situation still had a casualty that was not a person who was on Fox or any of these other news programs proliferating evil and white supremacist ideals. So even in this situation, somebody else passed away because of the violence that you spread. But the fact that it was that close to the person who put the fire to this storm, it didn't make me feel good. But it brought me way more relief than other situations that we've seen when it comes to gun violence in the past couple of years, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I mean, I would add to that. I do think that it's very ironic that we're talking about how, like, everybody is denouncing political violence now, including Mr. Trump, who has been the encourager of political violence, right? This is the man who said that basically no matter what happens, blood is going to spill with this next election. This is, you know, all of the rhetoric around Charlottesville, around the Black Lives Matters protest, around the January 6th stuff. And like you, Miles, I was like, wow, this is really ironic. And we're all now, there's this like unified call for political violence being unacceptable. And one, I find that interesting because the right has really been the only people talking about political violence. But I also find it interesting because political violence is like knit into the history of our country. Like,
okay.
This is, I mean, everything from lynchings and riots and burning down towns and all. I mean, political violence is part of how we do business in America. And so this whole like call for political violence being, you know, unacceptable feels very thoughts and prayersy to me, right? It's the nice thing to say in this particular moment. But I do think that we have to confront the fact that like we have created an environment where violence, I mean, our gun laws, the rhetoric, all of this stuff tells people that violence is actually how we do business in America. And so I feel like I don't really buy all of this political violence is unacceptable stuff because we accept it quite a bit.
I do think what is really interesting too, and I started to look back at this because I feel bad even being a victim of how much we've normalized Trump's wildness, is that when you look at just the absolute violence that he has advocated for, it is truly nuts. Like, he made fun of the attack at Pelosi's house. There was a kid killed by gun violence. He gets on the stage and says, you guys have 36 hours to feel bad about, to get, and then y'all need to get over it. Mm-hmm. Like he said about Hillary Clinton and Biden and them, he said about one of them, he said, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but somebody might need to use their Second Amendment rights about this. I mean, openly, the whole party, that black guy who's running for governor of North Carolina, he's like, we need to start killing people. That is their party.
He said, we need to start killing people. That is what he said. Oh, my gosh.
He says that. Or, like, I didn't realize the truck beds. The Republicans have, like, these images of Biden tied up. They go across the back of the truck bed. I got to find a picture and send it to y'all. But, like, the left is out here being like, we need civility. And these people are like, civility? Who? Y'all need to be in jail. We need to shoot y'all. They're not even alluding to it.
No.
They are saying it. So That's why I'm like floored that the left is like, we're going to be silent and we're going to, he's campaigning off this stuff. And why are we on the defense when a Republican tried to kill him? That's not us. We shouldn't be apologizing for Jack.
So that is the other interesting thing. I watched a lot of news that night and I was waiting to see who the shooter was going to be. I had an idea of who I thought it, I mean, just because so much of our domestic terrorism lately has been perpetrated by young white men who are alienated and alone and don't feel a sense of belonging, the whole lone wolf thing. I was waiting to see, you know, the profile of the shooter, and the type holds. But I did think that it was fascinating that he's a registered Republican, because this is not, you know, interpartisan fighting. This is your people on your side, it seems, who have some grievances to air out.
Well, I knew he wasn't brown, any shade of brown.
Me too, me too.
We'd have known immediately.
His picture would have been on the thing before they even thought to confirm anything, but they held it. I knew the same thing, DeRay.
And getting all his classmates to be like, oh, he was bullied. No, y'all, we not falling for the okie doke. Not he was bullied and then shot the president. Nope, no, shot at the president because Trump was not shot with a bullet. Crazy. Don't go anywhere. More Pod Save the People's coming.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Can we also talk about, like, Biden's response to it in the speech? Because that's what your response made me think of, Kaya. When I saw Biden say that lie of America is no place for violence, my face cracked. I said, America is the place for violence.
The place.
We're the place for violence. And I just did not understand that. And of course, I thought about the Alabama church bombings. I'm thinking about, of course, like Native American siblings. I'm thinking about chattel slavery. I'm thinking about all the school shootings. I'm thinking about all the police brutality instances that we've seen. America is the place for violence. It's really where the rest of the globe seems to be to look at when it comes to the Western world, where the rest of the globe looks at and says, what happens when we have advanced society and inhumane amounts of weapons. That feels like the social experiment of America. So I felt like they might have wanted to take a beat, before saying certain things, because I do think that we as an audience and as citizens, we're sophisticated. And that felt like such a weird, bold lie to just kind of to make up what America has been. This makes perfect sense in America. That's what we need to face. This doesn't feel weird. This doesn't feel like something that came out of nowhere. This feels like exactly what should be happening. It feels like Marvel wrote a twisted version of America. And of course, this is what happens on the season finale of that show or that comic book. Like, of course, there's an attempt on a former president's life who was already vitriolic. Like, that makes so much sense. I think I get upset when these moments aren't used to review and to really, like, be honest about who we've been and who we are right now. And this bipartisan pretending is so annoying to me. Like, why lie?
I agree with you. I just don't think the president's ever going to get up there and say that. I do think there are other things that Biden could have said, though. And I think they could have said, you know, this is why we need gun control. Like, I think there were some, things that could have just helped reframe the moment. Or they could have said, you know, the rhetoric has been so charged, and just repeated what that man had said and been like, this lead, you know, we have seen this lead to, like, violent language has led to violent outcomes before. Like, that's true, too. It is weird to me that the Dems feel like they're on the defense over some stuff we just did not do. And it's like, well, that is really nuts to me.
It's also interesting as we walk into the Republican National Convention, which starts today. I was watching some coverage, and this has engaged and motivated the Republican base. And I watched this older lady talking about how it is that only God saved Trump, because it is clear that his destiny is to become the president of the United States, and how they are going to do everything they can. She's just more motivated and more energized to make this happen. And I think, I mean, don't hate the player, hate the game. I think the Republicans are using this moment in a very strategic way to galvanize and to excite their supporters. And I feel like the Democrats are not using this as strategically as maybe they could. All of the apology stuff is one thing, but there is also a very clear, like, this, you know, this particular moment actually shows something about leadership, right? Like, what a true statesman would be saying in this moment. A true statesman wouldn't be pumping his fist at the end of this. A true statesman wouldn't be, you know, trying to capitalize on this effort. There's a moment to call for unity and blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know. I'm not a political strategist, but I feel like if I was the Democrats, I would be trying a different approach than, can't we just all get along?
If you have a whole base that believes, because that's what some of these people at the evangelical churches believe, is that Trump is chosen, and then somebody tries to assassinate Trump and in a Tarantino Pulp Fiction style.
Come on.
That bullet misses you.
Whoop. That whizzed right by my ear.
Right. That is... I mean, I'm still of the camp. I don't know what everybody's take is on this, but I'm still of the camp that is probably one of the most powerful things that could have happened for Trump. Like, so I get why mm-hmm. people are critiquing him, putting his fist up and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, he wasn't doing it for you. He was doing it for mm-hmm. people that seen him almost get shot, like Samuel Jackson and Bruce Willis in Pulp Fiction. And he made it through and he put his fist up. And now, not only is he going to activate even more people, now he can sell merch and put those on sneakers too. So that's what he was thinking. And in that moment, it doesn't really matter what we thought statesmen were. We're in the era of business people as politicians. And in that moment, mm-hmm. after he saw his life was being spared, he went straight into marketing mode, straight into promotion mode, which is his own sickness and quick wit.
Well, I agree with that. But I am saying that if we are in marketing mode, how come only one side is marketing and the other side is equivocating?
Why should the Dems start now? Why start now? Just sit it out.
I don't think this is like a big win for him, though. I was confused by that. I was heartened to see that the internet was skeptical immediately. and so skeptical that his defenders are like doubling down. They're fighting in our mentions about it. His followers online are freaked out by the idea that people are questioning things around it, both on Twitter and on Facebook, because, you know, because the Facebook crowd sometimes can believe anything. And I was actually heartened by that. So my gut tells me that this definitely animates his base. It certainly doesn't convert anybody on the left to Donald Trump. And I actually think it scares independents. I think that there's a part of this where independents feel like this man is chaos. And I think that that actually helps us. I think that, you know, the Dems need to come off their campaign break and people need to start getting on TV talking about the history of violent rhetoric and all that stuff with them. I was nervous. Did y'all see that Morning Joe got pulled this morning?
No.
So CNN took NBC took Morning Joe off the air. It did not air this morning because they were nervous about MSNBC's coverage of the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. You're like, what does that even mean? They pulled it off the air.
Right.
And that all of this, though, signals to me how precarious the moment is for the right. If they were not nervous about the response to it, then they wouldn't be doing all these crazy things. Or did you see that article? I don't remember which publication, but it was called We Are All MAGA Now. Did you see that?
Oh, no. No, and we are not all MAGA now. Just in case you were wondering.
They are doubling down on this because they're nervous. This, to me, is frenetic energy. It is not like we got it.
Strategic energy. I mean, I question that, DeRay, and here's the reason why. I saw a piece in Hollywood Reporter where he did an interview with the Washington Examiner right after he got shot. And he basically says that he's changing his speech at the RNC, that he, in fact, was... He was going to talk about Biden and Biden's policies. And he says the speech I was going to give on Thursday was going to be a humdinger. Had this not happened, this would have been one of the most incredible speeches. Honestly, it's going to be a whole different speech now. And he talks about how he was going to just go in on Biden and kill Biden. But now he is talking about this is a chance to bring the whole country, even the whole world together. This speech will be a lot different than it would have been 2 days ago. And I do think that, you know, people are here for the short term. And so if he gives a speech that is about unity and that is about whatever, like all people are looking for is a little crumb to hold on to. And I think that if he does a good job at that, like it is back on and popping. So I do think you're right that it's still very precarious. Like, I feel like I have no idea what is going to happen in November, but I also think if the right remains as strategic and thoughtful as they have been, this could be a huge opportunity to grab folks who are in the middle and who are reasonable if they maximize the moment. In fact, I have more confidence in the right's ability to do that than I do in the left's ability to do that.
I think that's a fair read. I just think that the organizer saying is you can't win if you don't fight.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so often the left just doesn't show up to the fight.
Yes.
And I think that Trump is going to like overplay his hand. He's going to, you know, even the right wing people are making, they're making videos being like, what's next? School bombings. And just like they made videos being like, somebody should try to assassinate Donald Trump because it'll lead to fervor. They said that. They did that in videos. So I think that freneticness is not going to change. And I have no faith that he's going to give a unity speech that, if anything, that comes across as sincere. And what I will say, and I never thought I'd say this, the response to this was like people have been paying attention on the internet because, and shout out to Black people on the internet, because people's critical thinking around like sort of like Miles said, like I've seen this movie before, was really beautiful. People are like, yeah, I don't know. Like, why did the Secret Service do it? Like, I think he thought this was going to be a slam dunk, and it is anything but a slam dunk to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing that makes me just like question that perspective, DeRay, and you know, usually I just, you know, mostly agree with every single thing you say, is the fact that the voting public majority and the people who are on the internet aren't always a circle on the Venn diagram. So I listen to what's happening on the internet and those discussions happening. But I know those veer younger. I know those veer specifically in my bubble to the left. So I also feel like I have to listen to, A, what's happening in those kind of Candace Owens internet-y spaces that I've explored before, but also what's happened when I'm talking to Black people who support Trump, or talking to Black people who aren't motivated, or Black people to vote and stuff like that, and kind of my everyday life. And I did see people react to everything that he did warmly. I've seen that happen as Black people who I know who are voting for Trump, Joe, be animated around what happened. So that's also just informing my perspective on this, too.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with the framing of it. I will just say, and this is what I think every time people talk about the internet not being the best political litmus test, is that Trump would not be here if not for Cambridge Analytica. There is no Trump if not for the way they hacked Facebook. It just doesn't exist, right? Like, Trump did not become a media phenomenon because he was on TV. Mm-hmm. They figured out how to target people in their homes on Facebook in a way that was unprecedented, right? Like, the internet is key to how he exists today, for sure, how he stays in the media cycle, and how he became a political phenomenon. And what I'm saying is that I think I saw that same apparatus for the first time ever question him in a way that was not his intention. I think that he's been very good at, like, setting up the way people talk about him. And I think he thought that fist bump and that red liquid on his face, whatever it was going to be a slam dunk. And I think that people are asking questions. And frankly, this is why it wasn't a bullet to me. If it was a bullet, Secret Service, somebody would release a statement being like, the president got shot. The only people who said he actually got shot were him and his wife. That's it. They released two statements saying he got shot. Secret Service hasn't. The local police haven't. The doctor hasn't. The hospital hasn't. I just say that to say that, like, the internet is actually questioning him in a way that he hadn't anticipated.
Are you seeing people on the right on the internet questioning him in ways that they haven't? Like, people on the right saying, oh no, this was our man, but we can obviously see this was an inside job, and now we are losing trust in Trump? Or are you seeing people who are already on the left now not trust another supposed stunt that Trump has did? I'm just, like, confused about that part.
Yeah, I think what I'm seeing, and this is what I think is the fascinating part to me, I'm seeing people who are like, I don't care about politics. The parties don't mean anything to me. Politics is not a real thing. Da, da, da. I'm seeing those people question. The people who are like they could go either way.
Got it.
And I think that to me is interesting.
Got it.
I think before this assassination attempt, I was actually encouraged by the left-wing wins in the UK and France, even though the media sort of said it was going to be a right-wing runaway. And, you know, people in the UK showed up and voted. And I think it reminded me that the media spins a story. In fact, like, bad news and conflict and politically violent rhetoric is actually a business model for social media and talk radio and those things. So they are deeply invested in carrying the negative narratives. And when I think about what happened in the UK and what happened in France, like, I think regular people are over all of this stuff. I think they might have wanted something different, but I think the right has played too fast, too far. And I think when you take the whole package of all of the things that have happened over the last few years, especially the court's most recent rulings, I think people are like, wait a minute. I think about Kansas and how, you know, right after the takedown of Roe v. Wade, Kansas rejected all of the anti-abortion stuff that was put in front of it. And that is middle of America, heartland kind of stuff. And so I generally think that people are, I think the media says one set of things. And I think that people actually believe a different set of things. And I think before Trump, it was progressive media saying a whole lot of stuff and ignoring the kind of right-wing or middle-of-the-road people. And now I think we've got swung the pendulum the exact opposite way. And I think the media feels like the right stuff, R-I-G-H-T, the conservative stuff is the thing that they should put their thumb on the scales on. And I think people are somewhere closer to the middle. So I'm interested to see what happens in November and to see whether or not this assassination attempt actually has any impact.
Don't go anywhere. More Politics of the People is coming.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
That's a good point, too. I thought about that as well because of just the quick pace of media right now, how fast this will go, even though this is a huge deal, that I don't know if it will feel like anything in September or October, if that makes sense. Like, even, like, I was thinking about that even prior to this. I was thinking about that about Biden and the debate and all the other stuff. I'm like, well, maybe by September... you know, in August, because of how quickly everything's going, totally. Maybe it just won't even matter anymore. So I could definitely see a world where, because this world, this country is so, if it's not an ice spice, it's a president, like, we're just, everything is just kind of going so quickly and everything's just kind of flattened. So people are getting so much of everything at one time, then maybe this will just kind of oddly pass over, even though this is a huge deal, but maybe it'll feel really old in our heads just in a matter of a few months.
Last thing I'll say is I do think, though, this is one of those, like, if we don't fight, we can't win. You know what I mean? And the left has to have an actual plan to deal with. Mm-hmm. This is going to make him more intense. And I do think this gave him more confidence that he had, and the idea that Trump could be more confident is pretty wild. And I think that the Biden Kamala kumbaya thing is not it. Like, they, somebody has to actually fight in this moment, and I think people will respect that.
Oof.
And I think that the kumbaya thing is going to be that will be how we lose. It won't be because of Trump was a genius. I think Trump is smart like a drug dealer is smart. He knows how to move product without getting caught. He's not smart like Einstein. And I think our side is like is like Little Miss Perfect. And we are the kids who, when the cashier doesn't ring up one of our products, we call the police on ourselves. And we got to get out of Little Miss Perfect. And we need to be smart, like a drug dealer smart, so we can like move the message to the people that need it. Because that's what Trump can do. He's not like, there's not Einstein over there. He just knows how to push products.
Trump is going to announce his vice presidential pick. Who do you think it is? And do you think that this has any... that this changed the pick? I just saw something that said Marco Rubio is out.
J.D. Vance. I think it's J.D. Vance.
Yeah.
Because I think J.D. Vance sounds sane. And again, yeah, these two people are going to fight. And Kamala's going to kumbaya us to death. And Biden's going to whisper. And I think that that combo is going to be rough.
What you think, Miles?
I agree with DeRay, with your last comment about Kamala's going to kumbaya us to death. And Biden's going to whisper. Cracked me up.
You mean it ain't gonna, it's not gonna be Tim Scott? Because he loves Trump.
Listen, if I'm being honest with you, I haven't given it a whole lot of thought, because it feels like I kind of think the opposite. When I think of the Democratic Party, I think that whoever's the vice president is so important, because people are thinking about that. Oh, if Biden can't do it, Kamala can do it. I'm still kind of on it. Like, I haven't really been sold that this isn't, yep, like a total revitalizing moment.
I hear you.
That, like, I think that the left needs to be even more prepared for. Like, I hear what everybody's saying around what's happening on the internet and people in the middle and frenetic energy. I really, really, really do get it. But maybe it's because I spent a lot of my time in suburban rural Georgia growing up, and I still know, you know, I got people on the right. I'm like, I don't know. This felt like a super pack battery to its back. And I think that what Trump is creating kind of transcends who's the vice president and all this other stuff. I feel like it doesn't matter for a huge group of people. As long as he's on the ballot, that's who they're voting for, because God so said so. And look, even the Ebony's bullet got swayed. God is breaking the world of physics in order to make this man the president. I'm like, how do you beat that narrative?
It is true.
They should do a commercial where they take everything God in the Bible said don't do and totally attach it to something that Trump has done or said, and just do that. To me, that is the counter narrative we need, because I don't, something about the, I was watching Midsommar over the weekend. I'm thinking about cults. I'm thinking about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which has the cults of the Manson family. I'm really thinking about the counter narrative to this supernatural narrative. But that counter narrative to a supernatural being appointing you, and then other people seeing that, who maybe were in that church but weren't Trump fans and were like, oh, y'all are tripping. Now those people are not, they're like, oh, that's wild. Like, I think underestimating that for me feels wild. And those people who feel like that don't always have Wi-Fi connections.
Well, I think that's right. I also think it is a battle of like hearts versus minds, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the Dems want to come with their data and their spreadsheets and their policies and whatnot. And I think that the right is speaking to people's hearts. They are, you know, it's not a surprise that at a time where people are experiencing loneliness and don't feel like they belong to anything, that this kind of movement is happening. I went to this panel at the Aspen Ideas Festival 2 weeks ago called something like The Making of an Insurrectionist. And it was a documentary filmmaker who has interviewed a lot of the January 6th folks, and a woman who I think works for the FBI doing counterintelligence around domestic terrorists. And what they both sort of said is, for many of these people, it's not even that they are like true believers in the ideology. They are lonely people on the internet, and people reach out to them are like, hey, how are you? What are you up to? Why don't you come do this thing? Come hang out with us. Come blah, blah, blah. And then like lots of them really did end up just in D.C. on January the 6th, not with a super clear view of what exactly they were doing, but kind of swept up in the emotion because they were with the people who they have been belonging to recently, right? And so you can't counter a crisis of belonging with facts and figures. You got to speak to people where they are.
That's amazing. Like that, illuminated me. I definitely think that the parasocial relationship is so significant. You know, everybody on the internet who's a creator or whatever, who likes celebrities, knows about the parasocial relationship. And at the end of the day, Trump is somebody's mm-hmm. crazy uncle for a lot of people, which is still family. And Biden is our president. Yeah. When I think about Obama, and I'll just speak for myself, Obama didn't necessarily feel like somebody in my family who I knew, but I was interested mm-hmm. parasocially in having Obama as a president. I liked being able to walk down the street, and when I thought about my president, thinking of Obama, which I'm sure people felt like JFK, that parasocial relationship was enough. But yes. but Joe Biden needs to be somebody's grandpa. Kamala needs to be somebody's aunt. Like, you actually yes. have to break those political benders, because we're not as fascinated with symbolically having y'all parasocially as vice president. Like, it would make sense, you know what I mean? Like, oh, a black woman vice president, or a black woman president, or Biden who's doing all this stuff for you. People want a sense of family and connection in their politicians. That way, when they see you having a hard time finishing sentences or moving slower, there's this empathy for you, too. And again, I'm not trying to make Trump sound like he's a genius. I think that I'm just seeing that there is like a thread of intelligence that is happening through the chaotic stupidity that I'm like, just follow this, Democrats. And I'm sure they're doing it by accident, is throwing everything at the wall. But this is what's continuously working in the chaos. And it's the fact that people do feel connected. So I definitely agree. Thank you for bringing that to my mind, because I didn't necessarily think about it like that, but that I was like, that's
it. It's just the riff off of your, like, they are having a supernatural conversation and we are not, right?
It's talking about policy. It's the same, I'm like, disconnection, you know, they right? said God said vote.
Yes, that's right. It is a huge disconnect.
You're telling me a leftist TikToker said vote. That's not the same.
That's right. We need
a bigger,
right.
better narrative.
Couple other things happened. So one, did you see that Elon Musk endorsed Trump now right after the assassination attempt?
I did not see that. That was right following it?
Yeah, immediately following. You know, he had said he would support GOP candidates, but he hadn't made a presidential endorsement. And as soon as, I mean, maybe he feels like God did it too. But as soon as the shooting happened, he came out and endorsed Trump, which was interesting. But the big thing that happened was the federal judge, Eileen Cannon, who was a Trump appointee and who was presiding over the classified documents case in Florida, threw the case out. And this was one of the strongest criminal cases against Trump. But she threw the case out, and she threw it out on what is really like a set of not sturdy, like, I really wish Diarra was here today, not sturdy legal thinking. She says basically that the appointment of the special counsel, Jack Smith, was unconstitutional, that the way his office is funded is unlawful, that he doesn't have statutory authorization. The truth of the matter is, if she believed all of that, she could have threw it out right at the beginning, right? But I find it, right. the timing of it, really, really interesting. And the legal folks, at least in the media, say that, like, this is a long shot legal theory, and like, other judges have rejected the arguments that special counsels are unconstitutional. And so this will likely go to appeal, and it will likely be turned over on appeal. But it seems like people are pulling out every single stop just to delay all of the criminal stuff until after the election. And because it'll take the appeals process to like work through, and that will push the case back and whatnot. And so I thought that was fascinating. That, again, like, she did this today. What was she doing last Friday? What was she doing 2 weeks ago?
which to me, and always down to be wrong, but to me that sounds like there is some type of poll or litmus test or political advisors that are saying if you're going to get Trump off of something, let him get away with something, let him if you want to endorse him, this is the time. He's favorable. Yeah. Favorable as he's going to ever be right now, unless something else miraculously and tragic happens that you're like, how did you fly off a private jet and without a parachute and land on your feet? Like, unless something like that happens, they're like, come on, go, whatever you got. Allegedly, I don't know this, but also it sounds like there's like some paper, like money to be followed. It sounds like that too.
Yeah, I just think people are pulling out every single stop to try to maximize this moment and this time leading up to the election. It'll be interesting to watch the RNC coverage this evening and see what happened there today and to see how this continues to unfold, really.
Listen, before we get off of here, what kind of wine are you going to have watching the...
It'll be something light, like a Pinot Grigio or something like that while I watch as America unravels. But can I say two shout outs before we... Yeah. What kind of wine are you having? Tell me what kind of wine are you having.
It's going to be a sticky type of wine. I'm an Intica. It's going to be a nice
it
sticky
Intica. It don't have to be a gummy. Right.
I'm going to do it old school. I'm going to smoke it out of a pipe. And I'm gonna do it just like that. That's what we need. Unless Crooked finds us some sponsors, some great THC CBD sponsors.
two shout outs. One not a shout out, but one recognition. Check on your 80s and 90s babies. This was a hard weekend for us. We lost Dr. Ruth, who literally changed the way we talk about, you know, sex in this country, a pioneering, you know, I guess, psychologist. And just, I mean, she broke all of the barriers. We lost Richard Simmons. Oh my gosh. You know, changed the exercise world as we know it. And we lost Shannon Doherty from 90210, which was, you know, all of our teen angst stuff that we saw playing out. She lost her battle with cancer.
That was a low-riding chariot.
Yeah, yeah. scooping up quite a few people. Uh-huh. Yes. So check on your 80s and 90s babies, Joe.
Before we end too, I also want to pay respects to Shelley Duvall, who was known for being in The Shining. I'm a huge Stanley Kubrick fan, even though, you know, and I love watching Stephen King talk about Stanley Kubrick take on his story and watching all that stuff. But she is an icon for that role and really just being that kind of awkward, quirky beauty. And I know that since those roles that she screamed into our hearts with, she battled a lot of mental health issues. So I'm also just paying respects, but also just, you know, just sending out good vibes for her soul being at her soul and her mind being at peace. So that was full.
And for those of us who were too little or scared to watch The Shining, she was olive oil in the Popeye movie, with Robin Williams.
With Robin Williams. You know, I've never seen that. I never seen it. I only see it like in other movie retrospectives where people are trying to say what a flub that was.
No, that was like it was a movie of my childhood for sure.
Okay. Well, The Shining for some, Popeye. I was looking at her. I'm like, she is weird and scary.
The other thing that I want to shout out is a long-awaited victory, and that is DeRay McKesson winning his court case that went all the way to the Supreme Court and came back, but basically that said that he is not responsible for violence that other people commit at the protest that he is at. That was a long battle and a hard battle. And so we just want to wish our colleague congratulations and all the love and cheer on the ACLU for protecting our right to protest, which, you know, many of our rights to expression are under attack. But shout out to that victory. Pod Save the People is brought to you by Hysteria. Journalist Erin Haynes has interviewed Vice President Kamala Harris more times than any other journalist. This week on Hysteria, she joins Alyssa Mastromonaco to discuss the building media narrative around the vice president in light of recent calls for Biden to step down, as well as her thoughts around Trump's attempt to distance himself from Project 2025. Tune into this timely episode on Amazon Music or wherever you get your pods.
Well, that's it. Thanks so much for tuning in to Pod Save the People this week. Don't forget to follow us at Cricket Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And if you enjoyed this episode of Pod Save the People, consider dropping us a review on your favorite podcast app. And we'll see you next week. Pod Save the People is a production of Cricket Media. It's produced by AJ Moultrie and mixed by Vasilis Futopoulos. Executive produced by me, and special thanks to our weekly contributors, Kai Henderson, DR Ballinger, and Miles E. Johnson.
I want to introduce you to Nationally, a must-listen election series podcast by Immigrantly Media. Dive into the heart of the 2024 election with hosts Sarah Sidwani and Juan Diego Ramirez as they offer unique perspectives on swing states pivotal this election cycle. Focusing on immigrant and minority communities, Nationally brings you the issues that matter the most, from the global impact of events like Gaza to local showdowns like Carrie Lake versus Ruben Gallego. Discover who's leading the uncommitted movement in Michigan, what drives Latino support in Arizona, and why Gen Z is running for office in Georgia. Each episode uncovers the why behind political issues, giving you a front row seat to defining moments and diverse voices shaping America's political spectrum. Tune in to Nationally every Thursday, wherever you listen to podcasts, and stay ahead of the curve.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.